Everyone enjoys a good time, and a good time online is even better. At KingTractorPress.com, fans of comic books, webcomics, and graphic novels have been having a blast since 2006. The home of new webcomics like sci-fi thriller Jean Gardens and the humor-laden Daddy's Girls, KingTractorPress.com offers online fun for distinguished audiences. And when you visit KingTractorPress.com, be sure to check out King Tractor's Five and Dime, where you can get buttons, pins, toys, and lots of other cool stuff. Visit KingTractorPress.com today.
You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Welcome to episode 233 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network and a part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007, webcomics, comic books, comic news, tropes, and web fiction, all at webcastbeacon.com. I'm Fess of ArgerComic.com, and with me we have Mark Savory, once again, back from AutumnLake.com. Welcome.
Well, hello there.
And as well returning is Kelly Turnbull from Manly Guys Doing Manly Things at ThePunchlineIsMachismo.com. Welcome back.
Hello, and hopefully by the time this airs, my website will have come back to life.
Uh-oh. So. The only reason why I keep saying is the punchline is machismo.com is because I actually forget what the other one is.
Oh, it's just manlyguys.com.
Okay.
So there.
All right.
Take that.
Just a little bit of news before we get to this week's guest. For people who are looking for Webcomic Beacon shows this summer, I had posted a tweet and a Google Plus recently about I'm looking to pick maybe 6 to 9 different web cartoonists or webcomic groups to be on short shows and maybe basically record maybe like 2 or 3 shows in one go. Basically so I can make a backlog of shows that we can have air when people are on vacation during this summer. So it's stuff that wouldn't be timely, but we can at least get maybe a 20-30 minute episode with somebody that maybe we normally wouldn't know about or seek to have on for a full-length show. And it's possible we might pick somebody for a full-length show anyway. But it's an experiment, and we always try new things here. So email, if you're interested, email webcomicbeacon@gmail.com with, webcomic EP submission in the subject. And then I'll pick, maybe 6 to 9 different people, and we'll coordinate from there. Because there's going to be a few weekends I'm going to be entirely off this summer, so we'll see how that works. And I'm sure other people will be gone, too. But this week we have a guest on from Los Lindas. I'm sure a lot of people have heard about that comic at loslindas.catbox.net. We have Chalo on the show with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. And apparently, you're internet famous, according to Kelly.
Uh-huh. Well, you say so.
I don't know. I spend a lot of time on 4chan. Maybe it's that crowd.
Uh-oh. No,
oh, okay.
Just quickly clicking on your pod, your wonderful stats. Oh, yep, you definitely. All right. And that answers that. So, Los Lindas, could you tell us essentially what Los Lindas is about?
Well, Las Lindas is about this girl, Mona Linda, that's her name, and she's been away for a very long time, and she decides to return to her old farm, which is abandoned right now, so she decides to come back to her childhood home and work to get Las Lindas back in business. Las Lindas is the name of the farm.
Okay.
So she decides to go back and start working alone on the farm. And as time passes, she recruits some other individuals that join her in her quest, you can say. And together they try to, to find a meaning of their lives.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of drama along the way, no doubt.
No doubt, yeah. A bit. Well, I try to aim more about comedy or romance, not much about drama.
Well, when you ever get like a bunch of people together, there's bound to be disagreements and a bit of drama nonetheless. I mean, right now the storyline is, as in this date in time, we're actually getting to know why Mora had left in the first place. So how long ago did you start this comic?
Well, I think looking back at the archives here, we started like in 2004, I think, when the first pages when live. So it's been like 8 years. Yeah.
And I'm clicking back, looking at the early art.
2004. Wow.
Yeah,
that's a long time.
That's a legacy.
The art has certainly come a long way from the beginning. Even the art at the beginning is still really good.
Well, when I look back at the first comics, I say to myself, wow, they look like crap.
Well, that everybody says that.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things where, like, compared to your ability now, you know, it's like unsatisfying. But, like, as far as, you know, most webcomics that started, like, what's that, 8 years ago? Like, you know, I've seen some pretty, it's still, like, you know, passable to look at.
Yeah.
It was probably one of the higher quality comics going in 2004. I don't know.
Yeah.
No offense to other people with comics that started in 2000. This guy just knows his way around art.
Actually, I'm just kind of clicking through and reading through the beginning again. It seems like the art kind of picks up fairly quickly. It's something to if you've read a comic when early on, and then you kind of keep reading years back, and then you go back and reread it, you kind of get surprised by like the art, and then you start notice the improvements along the way. I've done this with questionable content a couple of times where I've just gone back in time and it's like, wow, the art's so different. And then, oh, hey, there's a big change in the art here. That's so cool.
The guy who did Fanboys, where he would just like, you know, kind of put the site on hiatus and go with like study art on a mountain somewhere and come back and like, you know, get kicked up. Like, you know, it's like when you leave your Pokemon alone in the center and you come back and it's like, oh, you've gone up like 17 levels without me.
Interesting. Yeah, we're all creators here, so I don't know if readers like regular non-creator readers are like that. It'd be interesting to know if any readers out there do the same thing that we do when it comes to like looking at old comic art. I'd like to hear your opinions. Looking at some of these earlier ones, it says a story by Soul Cat. So you began this comic with a cohort.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, you know, Las Lindas started like a fanfic, actually. So back then I was just another artist in DeviantArt and just made up stories and characters. I think... most artists, I mean, doesn't really plan to start a webcomic. I just was one of those that started to create these characters and gave them superpowers, you can say so. Inspired a lot because I watch a lot of animes and cartoons and stuff like that. So I began to create this universe, you can say, and the characters with their abilities and the stories. But that took years. Mm-hmm. So at one point, this Soulcat, a friend of mine, came and asked me if he could write a fan fiction about my characters and my universe. And I say, well, okay, you can do it. So he wrote a little few pages, you can say the first chapter. So he took the Mora Linda, the cowgirl I had, and the farm, but he added his own characters in the story. So he presented it to me, and I really liked it. I mean, it was very fun to read. So I asked him if he could write more chapters. And so at the end, we have like 8 chapters of the story. So pretty much this early fanfic was the told the story about the, you know, I don't know, like the first 20 pages of the comic.
Okay.
How Mora is seen working alone, and how he goes in this mission in town to find a new worker. So that's pretty much the fanfic, the original, how we had it back then. So at some point, he asked me, hey, let's make a webcomic. And at first I didn't want to. I mean, I
was saying, it's a lot of work.
Yes, I don't know. I haven't seen many webcomics back then, just maybe one or two. But, well, after a time I say, well, okay, let's try it out, just for fun. So we started using this fanfic as the baseline of the story. So I began making the pages. I think I made like 3 or 4 pages in advance before starting to post it. And we've continued to do so since then. And that's it.
In the early comics, there are some human characters. I'm not sure how often human characters show up in the later, because I think in the very last, actually in the latest update, I think I see a human character. Clearly the majority of characters and basically all the cast members are what I would call furry characters or anthropomorphic animal characters. Was there any sort of big decision about the sort of people in the world, the inhabitants, or was it just because we want to?
Well, I've always been a furry artist, so I love furry characters, but I wanted the story to be a little, I don't know, different, you can say, because in every other furry comic I've seen before, there were just furry characters and that's it. So I wanted to give my characters an origin.
Okay.
So this is why I made this story about humans and furries, anthro characters, you can say, living together. So what I did is make this my anthro characters be like an alien species that came to live on Earth.
Okay.
So this is why there's the two. But you barely see any humans in the comic. I mean, I don't really draw them much, but that's only because I like drawing furries much more. That's why.
All right. Well, that makes sense. I Las Lindas used to be a comic I read a lot, but there was a period of like 2 years where I constantly had computer issues, and with computer issues, having to reboot and losing all bookmarks. So there were several periods where I lost several comics because it's like I read like hundreds of comics, so I couldn't remember all of them by URL or whatever. So then it's like, I remember it was like within the last several months, it was like, oh, Les Lindas, I used to read this. I better catch up on it. It was like, And I'm still finding comics that I used to read. It's like, oh, I got to catch up on that now too. So it was pretty exciting for me. It's like, I remember that. So you mentioned that the furry characters are kind of like basically aliens, is what you're saying.
Yeah, aliens.
Now
it's like Highlander rules.
I remember reading the comic early on, and I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. It's like down on the farm sort of thing. And then at one point, I remember like going, what? When she goes to like to the big city and everything looks so futuristic and stuff, I was so confused. Like, what is going on? I thought it was just about a farm.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
So clearly there's a little bit of a dichotomy here. I mean, you have now it's kind of in question, but you know, you could still possibly call, I'm not sure how to say, Alec or Alejandra or Alec. How do you say that name?
His name is Alejandra.
Alejandra is, was probably the best angle for an antagonist for Mora, especially through, I guess, most of the comic. You know, now it's kind of into question with the current storyline of where things will be going. But basically, a story of competing farms, competitiveness. You know, Alejandra is trying to buy out Las Lindas, and of course Mora's fighting back, and we know they used to know each other sort of thing. So you got a little competitiveness and contention there, which makes for good storytelling. You know, without conflict, there's no story, essentially. When you get to when you first see like the big city in the comic, and there's, I don't know. I gotta ask, where did this come from? Was this some of this early stuff from your DeviantArt days finally coming through?
Exactly, yes. Because before starting Las Lindas, I had this big world and characters, and you can say like I've been building this universe where Las Lindas is situated. So from time to time, you will see a little bits of that stuff I made before during the comics. I mean, you have these advanced technologies, you have these nanobots, spirits flying around, and things like that, spaceships, big cities, and other stuff that I haven't shown yet. So yeah.
So what were your like original ambitions with it? Because you were saying that you're kind of hasty about me, or weren't totally sure about doing a comic when Sky first approached you. Like, was it just kind of an RP thing, or was it just like a this is a head experiment, like a world I'm building kind of thing?
Well, I wouldn't say. I'm not sure really. I just building worlds. Mm. I mean, I think because I watched too much anime. So a little bit of Dragon Ball Z here or another ones. So everything, I don't know. At first I started making this character, these furry girls, and then I decided to, I don't know, give them superpowers, and like you see in these many animes up there. And in time, I started to let's say, write a story for them. I mean, the story is really, really extensive and big and ambitious, you can say. And Las Lindas, in comparison, is it's more personal. It's just like a side story of this big picture.
Mm-hmm. Is all your old DeviantArt stuff still up, or are you like one of those artists that have taken things down long ago?
No, I never like doing that. And my DeviantArt is still there. Since the time I started it, you can see the very, very old art there.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
It's one of those things, like, I mean, I know I have tons of stuff on my DeviantArt that, like, you know, it's old. I can't stand looking at it, but it's one of those things where, like, I know that other people like it, and it's like, oh, I don't want to take that away from you, because, like, you guys think it's funny. I'll just not look at it.
I have deleted, I think, maybe two or three comics, and they shouldn't exist anywhere on the web. other than that, I've moved them. Moved other ones I don't like or removed from the storyline to a different place. But there are a couple that I just really didn't want online ever. So I compromised. Let's see here. We've had some people on the show before that, they've basically started on DeviantArt, drawing characters a lot, pictures and such like that, and eventually they turned into making a webcomic site. And I think it's usually prodded by other people, hey, this is great, you should make a webcomic. And I have seen some people that will make comics and just throw them up on their DeviantArt, but they like non-committed, sort of no update schedule or anything. Every once in a while, you get like a comic, or like they'll do a stacked comic where they'll have like a whole story in an incredibly giant vertical image. And I like those, though. It's like you look at some of the art, and you're certainly a part of, you know, some of those artists where I've seen there's really good art, but they're not doing much with it aside from just being on their DeviantArt page. It's like they'll make comics. It's like, this is great, you should do something more regular or make a book. And it's like, nah.
Wasn't that kind of how the girl who does Cucumber Quest, what's her name? GGDG or something? I should know because I just bought her book. But you know the comic Cucumber Quest about the little rabbit people? I think that's kind of how she got her start. She used to do lots of like Metal Gear Solid and Phoenix Wright comics and stuff like that on her live journal. It's like, Hi, I'm Daisy. And after a while, she was like, oh, now I've got a webcomic. And it was just like a totally original story with like the art is like way plus. Like Cucumber Quest is some of the best like just color theory stuff I've like ever seen. You know, like this side of like tiny kitten teeth.
Oh, right. I think we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we'll take our first question from our listening audience.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon, email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We're also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcasts and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
Just want to let everybody know that we have a sponsor once again this week. This time, once again, it's KingTractorPress.com, basically pimping out his graphic novels. And did you know he also has webcomics over at KingTractorPress.com? He has, Sean Granger has one called Daddy's Girls and another one called Jean Gardens. So go ahead and check those out at KingTractorPress.com. Once again, we broadcast live. You can go to webcastbeacon.com/live and find a link to our vocal.com channel, in which they have an integrated system where people can listen live and submit questions. And the first question comes from Bad Ash. What has been your favorite story arc so far in the storyline?
My favorite? That's a hard one. But I think it will be the Harvest Festival. I think that we spend like months on that story arc. I mean, it looked like it will keep going and going and never finish. But even if it would be very long, I really enjoy it because I got to draw like the gardens in the city. Mm-hmm. There were new characters were introduced, like the sprites, DJs, and I had the chance to to put the all the girls in sexy dresses.
Of course.
So, yeah, it was a big party, so it was fun to make.
Would you say that storyline challenged you as an artist to really push yourself from how you're describing it?
I think every arc does, but yeah, it's a little old, but it was a little challenge, yes, because I had to draw. I mean, one of the things that is really difficult for me is drawing crowds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I try to avoid drawing crowds as much as I can because when I get like two or three people, wow, this is hard. How other web comics do it? I mean, I see other comics with a lot of people. I mean, a big crowd. And when I see that, I mean, wow, I wish I could do that. But I try to avoid doing that because it's really hard for me. Or while doing like structures and buildings, that's hard too. So
I have the same problem with backgrounds. That's why I just go with color.
Yeah,
it's just color in the background.
It's a little tricks to trick people that there is something there, but it isn't.
Yeah,
I always blame my like inability to draw cities on like growing up in the forest. I'm like, I could draw you great forests, but. You know, I don't know what a building looks like.
That's why you go outside and you get photo references, and then no, I'm fairly amateur artist, but it's like I keep trying new things. Oh man, it's like in my head, I know how I want this character to look. I know how I want them to stand. What sort of like fist I want them to make, and then I'm drawing them at this dramatic upward shot camera angle, and then it's like I'm trying to draw their hand. It's like. I can't draw. Why do I keep drawing stuff I can't draw? But you don't learn unless you try it, you know? That's the big thing, you know? A lot of people, you know, I've seen a lot of early comics where, you know, it's constantly just, you know, static shot of upper torso shot from the side. Their hands are in their pockets because they can't draw hands, this sort of thing. It's like, you're not going to learn unless you do it. But yeah, I think a lot of web cartoonists will essentially start and learn to draw with their comic versus, you know, someone like you. You're from DeviantArt, where you're basically getting all of a lot of your practicing drawing out of the way with not making a comic yet. And not putting it up. You know, a lot of people are just kind of, I know how to draw a bit, and I'll just go for it. So, you know, there's a difference there. And whenever I see, okay, a lot of times when I see people that have a really cool art style in a webcomic, you learn that they have a deviant art past, essentially. It's like, well, that's why. They've gotten a lot of practice, you know, putting it out there and such. By the way, I got your Becky art, and it's like, ah, this is so cute! I love your art style. That's one of the things that, I don't know, it's just... You know, I needed to fanboy a little bit there. So
it's okay.
So I don't. I guess I don't know where I'm going from here. Mark, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I'm curious about the artwork that you do here. It looks very nicely colored. A lot of shading, a lot of shadowing, and things like that. How long does it take to do a typical page? This is all Photoshop as well, right? It's all Photoshop.
It's a combination, yes. The colors and it's in Photoshop, yes. But the sketching and the inking is in Sai.
Mm-hmm.
You heard of that?
Yeah, Painter Tool Sai. Yeah.
A lot of people I know say that they get really nice lines in it, and
I mean, found that
you obviously Sai, do.
You get very very good lines in Sai, so that's what I used to sketch and ink, but when I'm done, I move to Photoshop and do the colors there.
Okay.
But about the time I take, and I'm not really sure, but I'll say it's about like between 10 or 15 hours for a page, I think.
Well, that's probably what mine ends up taking me, and yours is colored much nicer than mine is.
Oh, yeah. And
really, it's staged nicer too.
Yeah. No offense to Kelly, but so before you got on to DeviantArt, or maybe about the time, you know, back in the day, where were you? Did you just naturally have an artistic talent and you just kept practicing, or did you go to an art school at all? What was your early artistic experience?
Well, I think I've been drawing and doodling like I was a little kid, so it was just side things. I didn't go to any art school or anything, you know, because actually I studied something really different. I went to college to study I don't know the name in English, but I think is something similar to lab technician, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I went to college, for nothing related to drawing or anything. So it was some medical thing. But I was drawing like I was in school, and during my college years, I kept this drawing as a hobby, pretty much. I mean, when I was posting my first stuff in DeviantArt, I was already in college, I think, studying for this career that had nothing to do with art. But by the time I finished college, I decided that I didn't want to work as a lab technician. So I moved to study graphic design.
Okay.
But at the end, graphic design wasn't really doing it for me either,
mm-hmm.
because what I really liked was to make illustrations, pictures, cartoons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And back at the time, in here in my country, there recent wasn't really art schools. So I didn't know about any art school, so I had to learn by myself,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. So that's what I did.
Are you the only one that's writing the story right now? Is your friend still helping, or who's all working on Lost Lindas?
Well, no. It's since the beginning. There's always been a joint effort.
Okay.
I mean, it's my, let's say that the majority of the story or the universe. Like I keep saying universe, but I don't know how to call it.
No, you're right. You're right.
It's mine. So. But my friends, they always, since the beginning, they've always been helping me with the story, the characters, because I have like three friends that contribute in the story. Most like they helped me write the script,
mm-hmm.
because my English is not that very good,
mm-hmm.
so I'm unaware about the jokes in English, for example, how to be good lines. So I sometimes say, hey, I want this in this arc, I want this and this to happen,
mm-hmm.
The general ideas. Then we all get together and to write. Well, they write, I read and correct and say, hey, why don't we do this or that. But they keep helping me. I don't think Las Lindas will be this fun to make if it weren't for their help.
Yeah, but you have veto power if you think oh no, that character would never do that, right? Or
yeah, exactly.
Okay, there we go.
So sometimes I need to say, you know, let's change this because you know I'm not liking this much. Why don't we do this? So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm like the director or something, and
mm-hmm.
like my screenwriters are helping me with the story. I don't know.
You still have some, you still retain some creative control is what it is.
Well, they always tell me I have all the control in the comic. I mean, I can change everything I want. But I don't do it because they always do a great job most of the time.
Yeah.
So I don't have to change anything.
Yeah.
But they are the ones that tells me that whatever they write, I'm free to change everything. I mean, they usually give me like this many panels for this comic, this script, but I'm free to, I don't know, I want to add more panels or merge these two panels mm-hmm. into one mm-hmm. or change things a little bit. So yeah, I think you can say I have like full control about the final product.
Sounds like there's a really good team dynamic going on.
Oh yeah, it is.
That's very important.
Yep.
Let's see here. Do you make a decent return on the comic on the website? I see you got ads up and everything. Do you sell commissions? Do you make money off of your comic, I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I do. But, well, at first in my DeviantArt years, it was just about commissions.
Okay.
Now with the comic, I started it for fun. Mm-hmm. There was no plans about making it money from the comic. That came after many years.
Mm-hmm.
And the comic was going like that. But we didn't start with the ads. But my friends one day came with the idea of, hey, let's try to make some cash out of the comic.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this idea about the bonus comic. So this is how we started to make money with the comic.
Okay.
So we were offering these side stories of some of the characters, and people donate to buy more pages.
Okay,
the bonus comics.
I think our last guest was doing that as well, where you're basically selling people side stories,
yeah,
little extras. Okay, yeah, I can. Oh, that's totally cool. I really like that idea, and I should see if more comics I follow do that, because I think I've been overlooking that aspect. But yeah, that's probably a really good business idea, and just extra fun for your readers. Now, do you plan to ever print this?
I've been asked that a lot, but I don't think that's very possible, because, as you can see, many of the comics are pretty long in size.
Mm.
I mean, there's not a single standard size for the pages. I mean, I move the panels around, I make the pages longer or shorter. So I think it will be a real mess to try to print everything.
Well, yeah. I think it may be possible. And you certainly, I mean, it could take some effort, certainly, and you might actually would need somebody else to help with that. But it might be possible. And with just looking at the Project Wonderful stats, which aren't entirely accurate. Of course, you may have an audience that would be interested in it, so I wouldn't entirely discount it, but then again, like what you say, it's you'd have to really look at all your comics to see if something could be done in a print-wise, but...
Hmm. They generally seem to fall into a standard size...
There's also, like, hundreds of comics to actually try to look through just in case. Because I do know what you're talking about.
Of there in total, because it's, you know, it's been going for a long time now. You know, you could practically pretty much do one of those, you know, like the huge edition of Girly or whatever that they just put out.
Yeah, giant box set.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, like a Lost in This Omnibus.
Yeah. What was that?
Well, the first pages are the same size because back when I start, I draw the comic on paper.
Mm-hmm.
So the pages are, I don't know, the size of a letter page. So, but when I moved to digital, I started to play around with the sizes, and then the comic started to shift a size since then. So I don't know if
you take advantage. Possible. You take advantage of the internet's ability to not care about sizes.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, all right. I think we're going to go ahead and take one last break. And when we come back, we'll see if we have any more questions for Chalo. And then we'll also talk about the cat box. That was Cowgirl in the Sky by Terry J. Copley, found at musicalley.com by Mevio. Mark and Kelly, I'm not sure if you've been getting all of your questions in there, since I have a habit of talking.
No, it's okay.
So if you guys got any questions yet, we can lead off with those.
I'm trying to think, because like most of the questions I was thinking of, you ended up asking, and it was like, well, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
No. It's fine. You came prepared.
Oh, now you're giving me too much credit, because I don't come prepared at all. I really don't. Yeah, I don't really like very interviewee, grilly sort of shows. You know, I prefer it's
the
like
hot button issues.
It's a casual conversation, really. But we do have another question from Bad Ash, asking, "What are your future plans for Las Lindas?"
The future plans. Well, many people are saying right now that the story at this point is ending because Mora and Alejandra are finally talking about their past and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So many people think I'm finishing the comic or something. But really, I have a lot of room, a lot of stuff to cover yet. So I don't think there's an ending near yet. So I think I have material to keep making the comic for several many years still, I think.
Awesome. So all of your fans can rest easy.
Yeah.
I will have a question here. When you started Las Lindas, did you how far ahead, like this current storyline and maybe the storylines before it? Did you have any ideas that you would be getting to this particular point or storyline, or have you been long planning some events that you really want to get to?
Yeah, I have. Actually, I have many events, in my head, pretty much, that I've been planning in advance, but they won't happen yet. I mean, I have a few scenes and events that I know how I will draw them, but I think we are years before we get to that part. But I'm still planning them.
That's very and when you first started the comic, you were kind of pressed by some friends to go ahead and do it. But do a lot of these events and ideas for the comic that are apparently far in the future still? Did you have a lot of those ideas generated through? When you were developing your world on DeviantArt, the universe?
Oh, yeah. We can say so, yes. There are several things I want to happen and several places I need to show. I want to show, some other cities at some point. So far, we are staying in the farm. So there's the majority of the story is happening there. But at some point, I want to show a little more about this world, the universe. But it's not going to happen yet. But I think I've been planning this, not maybe since the start, but
okay,
faltering, I guess.
Okay, that makes sense. I think that answers my question, too.
Okay.
Mark, Kelly, any last questions about Las Lindas or for Chalo himself?
Did you go into your comic process at all? How do you start a page? Do you start with thumbnails and work it up from there? Or do you just kind of sit down and hit the ground running and start sketching inside?
Well, what I do is I start with the panels in my mind again. first I try to imagine how many panels we have, what I want to happen in each panel. And actually, when I first start drawing the page, I start with the empty panels. So what I do first is drawing these lines. I mean, it's like sketching the panels instead of sketching the actual characters or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I sketch the panels. I mean,
so you make your boundaries first.
Yes?
You make your boundaries first.
Yes, first. It's empty panels, but first, it's I want this big panel, and I want this to go in there, but this little panel below, or I keep changing them until I'm happy. And when I say, hey, this is good, All I have is empty panels and nothing in them, but it's everything in my mind. So
that's pretty similar how I work too. You know, so, I'll script out all these pages, and I'll just have like pages of boxes with text and like no art.
So when I'm finally done with the panels, I start sketching the what's going to be inside the panels. But I don't make any thumbnails or anything. I don't know. I have this thing about like see if I make a thumbnail and then a sketch, I feel like I'm drawing the same thing twice.
Yes, that's how I feel.
For some reason, I hate that. I don't like it.
Takes the spontaneity away.
Yeah.
Well, more or less, yes. Well, I think a little planning will do very good, but for some reason, I don't like to do thumbnails.
It's very rare that I do those. Unless I have a pose that I have to do that I haven't drawn before that's kind of tricky. Then I might try to have some kind of sketch or under sketch or something like that to help me get it right. But pretty much I'm with you. I kind of skip that.
I feel like I only do them when I'm working on something that's like more complicated or like, we lost Mark.
I need to recall him. I think we're having a bit of a connection issue. Mark.
Hey.
There you are.
Hello.
All right. Go ahead. What you were talking about, Kelly?
Yeah, I was saying I feel like thumbnails are more like, I don't do them for Manly Guys because it's kind of like a junk, like, you know, whatever comic. But no, it's seriously, it's like I just sit down and, like, you know, it's like a sitcom almost. But yeah, when I'm doing stuff for, like, none of the stuff I end up posting online usually, but, you know, like the Womanthology stuff, I thumbnailed that out first. I'm working on, like, another anthology project, and it's like I'll do them for that just to make sure I get, like, the right kind of divisions and make sure like all the art is flowing and stuff. Cause like, you know, you want that rhythm. So it's like, you know, pleasant to look at. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, a little more, it's like if there's more things going on that I want to be able to just like, you know, say like, you know, just plan things out. Just like, okay, this is going to be like a third of the page with like a dude standing here and just kind of like little stick men divisions of space.
I think I'd like to move on to the next topic. And I fairly recently, I think, something called the Cat Box was put together, where a bunch of artists and webcomics were put together. Could you tell us about the Cat Box?
Well, when we were doing Las Lindas, I mean, Las Lindas had, like, several years old, so my friends and I decided, I mean, to move the comic to a new place, like a home, let's say. So that's what the Cat Box start. Mm-hmm. But it was just Las Lindas at first.
I mean,
there was no plans of making having new comic book, new
community.
Comics in it. Excuse me?
Like a community.
Yeah. Then I think that came later, when it's basically I have these other friends that mm-hmm. make their comics, and when they started making their comics, we just gave them hosting their comics.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And just for because we're friends, we know each other, we like each other's work, so yeah. So we were like, hey, we have this place here. Why don't you come here and we host your comic and we are in the same place. It's fun. So that's how we started the Cat Box. I mean, from
how long
the friends started and we host them.
How long ago was it when you first started making the community of cartoonists?
I think it was, I don't know exactly the time, but it was several years ago, I think.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, I totally forgot about Las Lindas during the computer stuff, so it had been a few years. After you guys started making, like, the Cat Box community, did you guys all see a jump in your traffic after that? Like, were you getting more traffic after combining?
Well, I think we do, yeah. I think it helped to have several comics in the same place. But it was not an overnight thing, so it was gradually more and more views. But it took some time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there somebody in charge of like marketing or advertisements for the whole group or something like that? Or you just do you still kind of just you're together, but you all kind of like do your own thing?
I think it's Soulcat, the one that is like the webmaster. not only him. We have a lot of friends because I know nothing about web hosting or programming or coding or anything. So I really leave all that mumbo jumbo to them because I really don't know.
So, but it's not him you alone. Deal with it. Yeah, I just want to make comics and draw sexy ladies. You deal with the website. There
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, pretty much. Yes,
that's a noble intention. You know, that's there's you know no better reason I can think of to get into drawing comics.
Well, I can agree with that.
Yes,
that's a good incentive. Yes.
do you still do commissions? I'm trying to figure out some of these links at the side of Las Lindas here. The bazaar links, can you explain what those are?
The bazaar. Yes, it's another idea we had. It's similar to the bonus comics, but instead of buying comics, they buy illustrations about the story, like... You want to see these two ladies in the hot springs. Yeah, almost naked, but not naked. you can donate this amount, and this is bazaar, so I make the picture. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of pictures if you look into it.
So is it where, people, like you present, hey, if you'd like to see this, or is it people asking to see that?
There's a... You can say we do the both things.
Okay.
And we in the forums we ask people what will they like to see, so we pick the best ideas among our ideas, and we present them. Hey, this is what we have. You want to see any of this? So you can donate to the ideas, and when the amount is reached, we do it.
Oh, okay. So you got like a set price, because that's what... Okay, I'm looking at this, and you just got like so many dollars out of the final price. And if people can donate any amount, and once you reach the goal, everybody gets to see the image. Is that right?
Exactly, yes. Yes, that's what happens.
Kelly, have either of you ever heard of that method?
No, it sounds interesting.
I feel like I've seen somebody do it before, but I couldn't, like, remember. Who, you know, I have the same thing you did where I used to read, like, dozens and dozens of webcomics, and then, like, you know, kind of time restrictions made me, like, give up on all of them for a while. So, you know, I'm not sure which... Maybe... I don't know.
I want to think that... I think David Hopkins, who the guy who does the webcomic Jack... I think on the forums there was something like that maybe every once in a while. I don't quite remember.
Sometimes I've seen sites that do it, like they'll put up a donation bar or something, and it's like if you get to a certain level then they'll like update more times a week or something.
Oh
like,
yeah, those are
of course.
Hmm? Yeah, the like update incentives.
It's like not like what's that one about like the Demon Diva or whatever. It's I forget the name of the comic, but like I know they don't
Evil Diva.
It's like they had the whole thing where they were saying like they had no updates until they hit a donation bar. But I think like Danielle Corsetto, when she was switching to like from like to basically to doing webcomics professionally, she had the thing where it was like, all right, if I can like get this much in donations, then you'll get updates 5 days a week. And that was like kind of a thing. Cause like, you know, you're still going to get the regular, like 3 day a week updates.
Right.
But
there's a lot of variety in people trying to find, kind of a way, well, not to so-called monetize webcomics, but But to get a return, and in a way that doesn't alienate your readers, and also giving them, you know, what they want, and I really like this method. And how successful has it been since you started it?
Well, I have no complaints. I mean, I think it's been pretty good so far. Even after several years, we keep getting a good source of income. Yes, not bad.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. So
actually, I think like in a similar vein to raising money. Sorry, it's like I just thought of it, and it's like, oh, maybe we should plug him over here. Drew Green, who does I think it's called The Super Gay Adventures of Ross Boston, and it's like an all ages kind of, you know, just like gay interest comic and stuff. But he's got like an Indiegogo thing set up that I think he's trying to make it to $5,000. And if he gets that, then it's going to be the same, like more updates per week and stuff. Like, cause he's also trying to make like a job out of it.
It's a great idea.
Sorry if I'm stealing the thunder here.
No, that's
like, oh, this seems like,
some yeah, of our, somebody, a lot of our audience are also, creative types. And, so hearing about different methods that that they could look into is always interesting and informative for them. So it's good that we've covered that. I think we're towards the end of our show this week, and so we're gonna be taking me and Melissa are gonna be taking Marcus out to. He's well enough to go see the Avengers. So
awesome.
We're gonna take him out to that. Then we're gonna take him out to a restaurant and have French toast since he can eat a little bit. And he said he wants French toast. So all
awesome,
right.
Awesome that he's on the mend. The Avengers are also, I'm sure, awesome. I haven't seen him yet, but it's awesome. He's up and around.
Yeah, yeah. Good. So we'll this, taking a look at the calendar for. Future episodes, I think, for the Webcomic Beacon anyway, nothing for the 10th of June, possibly nothing for the 17th of June, but we will for sure be back on June 24th with Frumpf, the guy who basically took over Comic Press and has his new plugin Comic Easel. I think that works with Comic Press.
Yes.
So he's going to be on the show, finally. I think we have pending more confusion on the calendar, but I'm going to make sure it happens. I'll be like, you better be there, and we'll be there. And
I'll just spend the entire show asking him how to fix my website.
I
know he's familiar with my site.
Okay. So, so there is that. Otherwise, you can stay tuned to webcastbeacon.com/calendar for more information and news. For anybody that's interested on the Webfiction podcast we have, Webfiction World, we are going to be starting to do Webfiction reading, Webfiction serial readings. So check that out once we get going. I'm sure I'll make a big deal of it on the site if that happens to be your thing. Otherwise, the newscast seems to be going pretty good. First issue, episode 2 of season 2, I'm working on it. I've been delaying on purpose because Marcus has been out of commission for a while, so that's going to be coming up. Going to be an interesting summer is all I'm going to be saying. A lot of experiment, a lot of trial, and seeing how things work. But that is it for this week's edition of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. I want to thank Chalo from loslindas.catbox.net for coming on the show. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
And
likewise.
Yeah, it was it's one I was really glad that I found again after losing the link years ago. So
I hope you don't lose it again.
No, I'll remember it since we have a podcast about it. And I was like, yes. All right.
That's the only reason he has anybody on the show, you know. So
well, yeah,
he can build up his links again and remember what they were.
Part of the reason for me starting the Webcomic Beacon in the first place was to get people on the show that of comics that I liked. And so here I am. And that is it for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon. I've been Fess of ArgerComic.com.
I've been Kelly of manlyguys.com if it ever comes back. We're kind of experiencing some DreamHost issues right now.
Oh, DreamHost.
And this is Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com.